This is Fresh Air. I'm Marty Moscoen. Jackie Robinson broke baseball's color line 50 years ago and became a hero to every black child who dreamed of playing in the major leagues. But today, the percentage of African-American players playing professional baseball is just 17%, well behind basketball and football. My guest, John Young, wants to reverse that trend. In 1989, he founded RBI, Reviving Baseball in Inner Cities. It's supported by funds from Major League Baseball and works to increase interest in the sport by organizing teams and tournaments. It also works with boys and girls, encouraging them to stay in school. Today, there are RBI programs in 75 cities across the country. John Young was a scout for the major leagues and played first base in the minor leagues for most of the 70s. An injury curtailed his major league career with the Detroit Tigers. John Young began playing ball as a kid growing up in South Central L.A. because of a role model a little closer to home.
A friend of mine who was a little bit older than me by the name of Edward Hamm. He was 3 years older. And I've constantly said that if Edward Hamm would have been a gangbanger or did something negative, there was probably a chance that I would have been negative because, you know, as little kids, you know, there's always that one person that you look up to. And I always say fortunate for me that Edward Hamm was into sports and he was into baseball and he was very good. And I looked up to him and he's the one that got me started playing baseball.
So he said, come on, John, let's go play baseball. Let's go down the, you know, to the local park or down the street and play ball.
Well, we would play on the block right there on 103rd, which was a pretty big block. And in fact, we would have like games against the other blocks, 103rd, 104th, 108th, like the Murrays grew up on 108th, a bunch of family members and most famous one being Eddie Murray. But we would have like block leagues. But he went to a junior high school that had a summer recreation program and they had one for youngsters and he encouraged me to come out and play.
So where's Edward Hamm today?
Edward Hamm is cutting hair and still living in South Central L.A. and doing well.
And still loving baseball?
Loves all the sports, yes. Yes.
Now, did you take to this game right away? I mean, the moment your friend Edward Hamm introduced you to the sport, was it kind of love at first sight?
Well, even I can remember, this is, I'd say, 1959, 1960, but I could remember 1955, my parents, you know, watching the World Series on television. You know, the Yankees were playing the Dodgers, and Jackie Robinson, as you know, was playing for the Dodgers, and this was like the Jackie Robinson generation. So most African-American families were really into baseball at that time, particularly, you know, Dodger fans, and I was 5 or 6 at the time, and I remember going out in the backyard and throwing up a sock and hitting it with a broomstick. And so, but baseball, I think through Jackie Robinson and through my parents, was really my number one sport as a child.
Well, how did the major leagues hear about you? I mean, what was the process of you making it to professional baseball?
When I was in high school, it was like a baseball was really flourishing in South Central L.A. Several people came out of the neighborhood, and scouts were really, it was like a hotbed in the area, and scouts were all over the, you know, the community looking for talent. People like Roy White and Reggie Smith that came before me, Bob Watson, Bob Tolan, Doc Ellis. These people were like, you know, within 3 years of me. And so when I started playing ball at Mount Carmel High School, I could run, and I was a little crude. And there was a player on our team by the name of Tommy Williams, who was a catcher, a switch-hitting catcher, who all the scouts would come to see. And he was a grade ahead of me. So by scouting him, they happened to notice me. And that's usually the way most kids get noticed. Scouts are going to see someone else, and they either see a teammate or a player on the opposing team. And that's, they put it on the follow list.
So you you made it, what, to the minor leagues? I guess you got picked for the minor leagues. What was the process, I guess, of your career in professional baseball?
Well, I've had a very detailed career. I like to think that I've probably experienced many of the emotions, or most of the emotions that a person can feel in the game. I had several decisions to make. I was drafted out of high school by the Cincinnati Reds, and I was drafted about the 27th round, and they offered me $500, which at the time I thought was all the money in the world.
$500 for the season?
Signing bonus.
Oh, a signing bonus.
And $500 a month. And that's just for the 4 or 5 months of the season.
Right.
And here is one of those decisions that my dad assisted me with.
Right.
Well, I don't know if it was an assistance. He said, no, you're not going to do that.
So, and that was that, right?
That was that. And I had a scholarship to go to Chapman College. Went to college, and I really developed as a player.
Hmm. Did college, though, give you some time to just mature as a person? And I imagine the difference between a 19-year-old or 18-year-old or maybe even 17-year-old playing professional ball and someone in their early 20s.
Yes, college did more for me, I think, than anything to prepare me for pro ball. Not only did I develop my physical skills by playing in a winter program, by playing more games, and by really concentrating on just baseball. Also, it allowed me to grow up. It was, you know, my first time away from home. Another thing that really assisted me, I was two African-American players on the team. So coming from South Central, it was the first time I had been a minority on a sporting team. And as I get into my career, you know, later professional career, my first year pro ball, I was only African-American on the team, you know, playing in the South.
Mm-hmm.
I think it prepared me for some of the things that happened, you know, when I was playing pro ball. But also it had me, I grew up a little bit. I became more responsible. I became more confident with my baseball skills. And I think that had I went out and played my right out of high school, I don't think I would have lasted long.
We'll talk more with John Young after a short break. This is Fresh Air. John Young is our guest, and he played professional baseball from 1969 to 1978. He was a batting instructor and a scout for the Detroit Tigers. He currently works with Major League as a consultant. And in the late 80s, he began a program called Reviving Baseball in Inner Cities, or RBI. You worked as a scout for the Detroit Tigers, and when did you begin to notice that the baseball was disappearing from some of the inner-city neighborhoods around the country, including the one that you grew up in South Central L.A.?
The first week I became a scout. I was living in Alabama at the time, Montgomery, and I was working with the Tigers, and I had four states, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Florida, and Georgia, five states. And as I would travel into Birmingham, New Orleans, Atlanta, all the major cities, you know, in those states, and scout the high school players, I really noticed a difference in the participation with African Americans and the quality of the programs in the inner city schools. As we scouted the colleges, we would notice that unless it was a historically black school, there weren't many African-Americans playing college baseball. So right away, it was just so noticeable.
What was the concept then behind the program that you started? Again, this was in the late 80s, this program called RBI.
I moved up to Detroit as director of scouting, and I really, as we would attend baseball organization meetings with other scouting directors, you know, the subject would still come up. We've got to find talent. We've got to find another resource of talent. We've got to do something with inner cities. We've got to do something, get more athletes involved. And then I moved back to Southern California, and I was working for the San Diego Padres as a scout. And same thing, I'm talking, this is like 84, 85, and I'm talking to the same subject with a different group of scouts.
Hmm.
So finally, in 1987, I got together with Roland Heeman, who was the general manager of the White Sox and general manager of the Orioles, but in between that was working in the commissioner's office, and expressed my concerns. And he suggested that I write a proposal and send it to, at the time, Commissioner Peter Uberoff. And that's exactly, you know, what we did. Sent the proposal to Peter Uberoff. He gave us funding for the first year, and RBI appeared to be off and running.
Well, you began in South Central L.A., where you grew up. What happened the first day of tryouts?
Prior to the first day of tryouts, we went into the local junior high schools. And we had some really impressive alumni, you know, with us. So when we went into one junior high school, we went in with one of their former alumni, Eric Davis. We went to another junior high school with Daryl Strawberry, with Hubie Brooks. And it was very impressive. And the kids were all fired up about, you know, this new league. And we gave the kids the first year jackets to wear, and everybody was excited. And when we told them the locations of the parks, you know, it was just silence. And we really didn't pick up on it, you know, and we just didn't pick up on it. And the problem was the kids were concerned with the locations over crossing over gang territory. And so it was concerned, and we met with the Recreation and Parks people, and who, incidentally, the RBI does not get off the ground had it not been for the City of Los Angeles Department of Recreation and Parks. Mm-hmm. They provide the facilities and really the manpower. But we went to the supervisors, and they provided rangers. You know, they have park rangers that were there, and we assured the kids that security would be no problem. We also, you know, went to the community police stations and made them aware of what we were doing. So they would, you know, they would drive by, and then they would, like, you know, get out, and they would walk the park, and their presence was felt.
Interesting. Well, I'm curious, too, whether you ever talked with any of gang members there, if you were at a park and there was, I don't know, kids hanging around, whether you ever went over and talked to them.
Well, you know, actually, prior to the start of RBI, in part of the research, you know, I had a cousin that was a gangbanger. And, you know, I talked with him about this. I said, you know, this is one problem. I was just saying, well, why would the gangbangers, you know, prevent these kids from doing something positive? See, a lot of scouts are afraid to come into South Central because of this problem. And one of the things I was telling him, I says, you know, this is something that if you have, if the scouts are afraid to come into the area, you're hurting the community, you're hurting the kids in the area, because that's going to limit their opportunity to be exposed to, you know, professional baseball, to college baseball, to what have you. And what he told me was that the gangbangers really don't bother the activity at the park. And most of the activity at the park is done at night, and that it would not be a problem.
And so, has it ever been a problem?
Knock on wood, it hasn't. One thing that we, in Southern California, the big gangs are the Crips and the Bloods, which are with the red and blue colors. So we had to outfit our league the first couple of years, you know, without using red or blue. And, you know, if you've been involved in with your youngsters, try to outfit a 24-team league baseball without using red and blue. It becomes very difficult.
Because you probably don't want to do too many of those pinks and other kinds of colors.
Exactly.
So what can baseball teach young people, even apart from other sports? I mean, I think all sports teach winning and losing and good sportsmanship. But what do you think is distinctive about the game of baseball and what it can teach, especially a young person?
The thing about baseball that I think is unique from every other profession, every other sport, is that it teaches you to really deal with failure. You look at a 300 hitter who's a star. He fails 7 out of 10 times.
Right.
And I think that's the number one. You know, it teaches you to you know, deal with adversity, dependency on the other members, and I think it teaches you humility. And I think those are really the key points.
There's another part of this program which I think is very interesting, which is to link baseball, to link athletics with learning. And I know that's a very important part of this RBI program. How do you make that link for a young person? Do they have to make sure their homework is done or have certain kinds of grades in order to be part of the team?
Well, let me kind of give you a little background on how the educational component was devised. When I wrote the commissioner, Peter Ubroff, the first time to get the program started, one of the points that I made with Peter Ubroff was that in 1986, from the draft, the June free agent draft, of the players that were signed from America through the draft, not counting the Dominican Republicans, but through the draft, 82% came from college. As compared to when I signed in the late 60s, most of the players that were signing came from high schools.
Interesting.
So my thinking was that for the workforce, that as major league clubs cut back on minor league clubs for economics, that eventually baseball is going to use the colleges similar to the way the NBA and NFL use the colleges, really to cut back on scouting and player development. That's the trend that we're taking. Also, I noticed that when we did our survey, that of the players from America that were in the major league, on major league rosters, 45% of them came from Southern California. That's from Fresno to San Diego. Then we did a survey on who was attending colleges. So we did a survey on the rosters from San Diego to Fresno, California. And we found that less than 2% were African American, less than 3% of the players were Latino. So that told me that if this is going to be our trend, and that if there's only 2%, you know, minority participation at the colleges, then 10 years from now, we won't have any American minorities playing baseball. So we felt that it was important to get the academic component in place.
Well, I'm thinking about Tiger Woods, and I wonder whether baseball needs a Tiger Woods. And by that, I mean a young and charming, gifted, articulate player to really ignite interest. Because it seems to me there is no more white or suburban sport than golf these days. And yet in the last couple of weeks, it seems as if everyone's talking about golf.
I think so. I think we've got our stars, and I think that baseball has really stepped up the pace on marketing the players, and I think that's going to be taken care of. I think what baseball needs is more volunteers at the youth level, more quality coaches to teach the game and to be role models.
Is there a kid you think that really exemplifies what this RBI program is all about? A kid that really, uses this experience to his own betterment?
Well, I think the one kid that and he's always been my favorite. In fact, he played, I think, day one by the name of James Lofton. Came in the program at 13. Horrendous home life. Mother was on drugs. Very low self-esteem. Very small in stature. Came in at 13, played on every RBI team that we had. I always kid and say that he probably has more RBI uniforms than we do. But he got bigger, he got stronger, he got more self-confidence. And when he graduated from high school, he was like the city player of the year, and he attended L.A. Community College. And that really surprised me because I didn't think that when this kid first came into the program that he would do the things that he's accomplished. He signed a contract with the Cincinnati Reds, and he's currently playing in their minor league system. I don't know if James is going to play in the major leagues, but the day that he entered L.A. City Community College was probably the proudest day for me and the program to see how far he had come. And here's a kid that played in the program, never paid one dime to play in the program. So we were able to give this youngster a great experience, uniforms, trophies, and for absolutely free. And I really believe that this is a life that we've saved.
Well, John Young, it's been a real pleasure to have you with us today on Fresh Air, and I thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Marty. It was my pleasure.
John Young established RBI in 1989 to encourage youngsters to play baseball and stay in school. Today, there are 75 RBI programs in cities across the country. This is Fresh Air.